We're here with my congressman, Richard Neal, Massachusetts 1st District Democrat, in office since 1989, the top guy for the Democrats on the Ways and Means Committee, a man of terrific character. And I so appreciate, Richie, your being with us all along. I hope I haven't embarrassed you.
Always happy to do it.
Okay. Let's talk about the state of the 2016 campaign. Were you at any moment worried? Are you still worried in terms of the Hillary versus Trump contest?
Well, I think everybody's apprehensive given the anxiety that is coursing through the political climate right now. But not to miss the point, I've always been very confident given the fact that I think that the national level, a Democratic candidate has a slight edge for president given turnout. And I think in this instance, no matter how smart we all think we are, there isn't anybody I know that would have said a year ago that Donald Trump was going to be the Republican nominee. And I think that certainly Senator Sanders did better than anticipated. And now as we are about 30 days out, a little bit more than 30 days out, I think that you can see positions from the undecided beginning really to harden. And what's significant about it is we're down to about 8% of the voters now. In 12 states, some of the pundits would suggest 14 states. I don't think that the playing field is that large. And as you look to the Electoral College, you can see that she's opened up a decent lead in Florida, in North Carolina, in New Hampshire, and certainly while she's behind in Ohio, the most important state, I believe, for her going forward is Pennsylvania. It's very hard to see how Donald Trump wins the election without winning Pennsylvania. And if he can't win Florida and Pennsylvania, that is almost his prospective election can't happen.
What the hell was Bill Clinton thinking when he talked about Obamacare in negative terms?
Well, I think what happens is there's a tendency for all of us to speak out loud. And I think that he probably was reflecting what the New York Times has been talking about during the last 2 weeks, and that is the collapse of what has happened with the private insurance companies participating in the exchanges. And so it wasn't a carefully guarded secret. And at the same time, I will use an example where I might have rounded it. I would have said, well, recall that while Democrats opposed the implementation of Medicare Part D, as President George W. Bush proposed it, we opposed it because of the donut hole. You had to spend down X number of dollars in order to secure the benefit, and then there was a gap where you had to spend down more money before that gap was closed. And that, many of us thought, was prohibitive for senior citizens. So we subsequently won the House in the next election. Barack Obama was elected president, and one of the first things we did was to close the donut hole. And we did it without any in-your-face routines. We simply said that this was important for the American people. Let's solve the problem and move on. That's a sharp contrast to the way Republicans have handled the Affordable Care Act, where we have voted more than 50 times in the House of Representatives to repeal the Affordable Care Act without an alternative. And the highlight of the Alternative Care Act really is the fact that it has insisted that we expand Medicaid, but 20 million more people have health insurance than 8 years ago. That's a pretty startling statistic.
It is. It is. So is he going to be a problem? I mean, is Bill Clinton going to be an unchained dog?
Well, I think, what's amazing is how quickly these stories come and go.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. And I'm keeping
it alive.
You know
what I mean? They really, no, not necessarily. People just don't keep it because something else is going to come along in the next 48 hours, guaranteed, that we'll be talking about.
On a more local note, I noticed that our wonderful Gene D'Elia, Great Barrington, the president of Fairview Hospital, the head of Fairview Hospital, has been honored in Berkshire County. You know Gene, of course. You got anything good to say?
I've got a lot good to say about Gene. He is an individual of exemplary character. Most importantly, he's been one of the most ferocious advocates for health care across Berkshire County. And he's certainly a man for all seasons in the sense that I've not met anybody in my travels across Berkshire County who doesn't like Gene D'Elia.
That's exactly right. He's a wonderful man. Richie, you're a historian, and that's what I love about you. You great story person. You can tell me about Ireland and the rest of it. But in your mind, has there ever been anything that mirrors this Trump-Clinton election?
Well, I will tell you this. I've been saying this regularly, and I like the story because I've invented it. And it really goes like this. You cannot look good in politics or sports against a bad opponent. I mean, the anticipation level, the notion that you somehow, even though you prevailed, you weren't good enough that day or that night, and the individual that is saying untoward things about you, it's very hard for you to respond. For example, I saw the comments about McCain, and I thought that Donald Trump was finished. I saw the comments about Ted Cruz's dad. I thought he was finished. I saw him mocking an individual who was clearly disabled, and I thought he was finished. And apparently, the hardcore have not changed their minds. And I think part of this is, again, what has been a growing economy, but not one that, as Jack Kennedy would have said, has lifted all boats. We are down in this election season now just to 8% of the American people. And his number, while it has not gone up for months, really hasn't gone down either. And he has been locked in somewhere around that 44% mark for a long, long period of time. And as we keep waiting for the stumble that will finally eviscerate his candidacy, it doesn't seem to be happening. So that means that the people that are for him are really for him. And I think that Secretary Clinton, she is now concentrating on the persuadables, as I noted, which is about 8% of what's left out there. And at the same time, that's the reason she's in North Carolina. That's the reason she's in Florida. That's the reason she's in New Hampshire. Those are states that right now are still, while they are trending in her direction, they nonetheless are going to continue to be fought.
Some people think this is all about race, that Donald Trump, when he says law and order, or, you know, the rest, of, keep the Muslims out, keep the Mexicans out. Is it really 40% of the American people buy that stuff?
I don't think that they do. I think that there is a hardcore opposition to Secretary Clinton. I don't think there's much question about that. I think that every time that we can't come up with a sustained suggestion, I think that we tend to throw that the comment about race out there. But not to miss the point that this is not a new phenomenon. A Democrat candidate for president has not won a majority of white voters since Lyndon Johnson ran in 1964.
Interesting, interesting.
So there's this constant effort that is made to cobble together a coalition of, in this instance here, you can see that Clinton is going to suburban college-educated women, which in the past has been a group that has trended Republican. You can see that in rural areas, that is a Republican base. And you also, at the same time, you can see in urban areas where Democratic votes are concentrated, there's an overwhelming base for Democratic candidates. So I do think that there is a racial disparity in terms of how people make up their minds. But not to miss the point, I think that we've made a lot of progress since Lyndon Johnson's historic Civil Rights Act. Some might argue that it was the most important piece of legislation in the last century, and it comes on the heels of the Voting Rights Act, which has really added viability to the Carter candidacy, the Clinton candidacy, the Obama candidacy, and now again to the Clinton candidacy. And I think that the outcome of voter participation, where you can see now that in the last election, 67% of the African Americans who were eligible to vote in America turned out, and about 61-62% of whites in America who were eligible to vote turned out. But the fastest growing minority group in America now, it's Asians. And you can see that George W. Bush made great inroads with Hispanics. And now that has been forfeited because of, I think, some of the incendiary rhetoric that Donald Trump has used to describe them.
Well, I got to tell you, Richie Neal, you're the best talker I know, and as well as doer. And I have to tell you, when we come back the next time, I'm going to pick it up right where we left off, okay?
Good enough.